Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I think you have to take them on and be willing to fight them if you actually want to bring about change in this country. And we just have had a fundamental disagreement about that.
Democratic presidential hopeful John Edwards explaining on CBS Face the Nation why he did not get the coveted Des Moines Register endorsement for the Iowa caucuses, even though he did get it in 2004. The disagreement, his word as he sees it, the Register thinks big corporations can be more cooperative than he does in moving America forward.
I mean, I think, for example, insurance companies and drug companies have been a huge impediment to serious health care reform in this country. I think the oil companies, gas companies, power companies have been an obstacle to what we need to do to attack global warming and transform the way we use energy in America. I think it's some simpler things like family farmers struggling, trying to compete against big corporate farming interests.
John Edwards again on CBS Face the Nation. Hillary Clinton got the Register's endorsement. John McCain got the endorsement on the Republican side, even though he's hardly campaigned in the state. McCain also got the Boston Globe yesterday, the Manchester Union Leader, and the Portsmouth, New Hampshire paper, the big three for the New Hampshire primary, all of them going to McCain. The Globe endorsed Obama on the Democratic side. So let's talk about it all now, including Mike Huckabee in a major break with the Bush administration on foreign policy. With me are Liz Halloran, political reporter for U.S. News and World Report, and Zev Chaifetz. He wrote the New York Times Magazine cover story on Huckabee that appeared yesterday. He was last here for his book, A Match Made in Heaven, American Jews, Christian Zionists, and One Man's Exploration of the Weird and Wonderful Judeo-Evangelical Alliance. Zev and Liz, welcome back to WNYC. Hello there.
Hi, Brian.
Liz, first on some of these newspaper endorsements. We aired the Des Moines Register debates last week, and now they come right out, led by the woman who moderated the debates, and endorse Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side. What was their main reason?
Leadership and experience was their main argument, and believe me, Hillary Clinton needed that endorsement. There's been talk about her potentially finishing third in Iowa.
Because it's more or less, they think, Iowa's very hard to poll because of the nature of the caucuses, but they think it's about a tie at this point between Obama and Edwards and Hillary.
Exactly. Obama has been showing some more strength on the stump, and Hillary's campaign has had a couple of stumbles over the last few weeks. So this is big for her, particularly with caucus goers, because that's the sweet spot of newspaper readers also. So if there is a sway, the Des Moines Register as a newspaper has it, and their readers are caucus goers, demographically older people, 50 or older daily newspaper readers are also caucus goers. So I think this is, she really needed this.
And the McCain endorsement seems kind of bizarre, since he isn't even really campaigning in the state.
It does. Actually, he's in fifth place in Iowa on the Republican side right now. He's polling at about 5.8%. But the argument that the Register made was probably one that the other newspapers are making, is that at this point in the campaign, he has the most experience and has been the most consistent in his positions. And it was really interesting yesterday. The McCain campaign just sends out these advisories to reporters called in case you missed it, and it was just one after another, like you said, the Boston Globe, the Portsmouth Herald, the Des Moines Register, the New Hampshire Union Leader. So he's getting endorsements from liberal-leaning newspapers and conservative newspapers. So this may be a good boost for him in New Hampshire, where he really, really needs it.
Does this show the Des Moines Register editorial board, that is Clinton on the Democratic side, McCain on the Republican side, to be conservative in a certain sense, that they want the candidates with the most experience, that would be Clinton, that would be McCain, not the ones willing to go for more change or seen as a blanker slate like Obama and Huckabee?
I think that's clearly what you're seeing with the situation in Iran and Iraq and the economic pressures that are facing the country right now. I think that they chose experience, or what they perceive as the best experience in these two candidates, to be more of a stable force going through the next several years that look to be difficult on many fronts.
And it was interesting to see Bill Clinton out knocking Obama as rolling the dice. He used that phrase. Did the former president by nominating or electing Obama, rolling the dice? So that's a Clinton strategy, isn't it?
It is, and the Clinton strategy has been very interesting the last few weeks, and I think there is a danger in some of what they're doing to alienate some folks in Iowa anyway. I don't know if you saw, but Bob Kerry, the former Nebraska senator, now president of the New School, endorsed Hillary Clinton, and in doing so talked about Barack Obama and used his middle name Hussein and talked about his Muslim heritage. Yes, or the fact that he had a Muslim experience as a young man. So it just speaks to, you know, I think people see that, the reference to Obama Hussein, you know, using the word Hussein, and then the other couple things that have happened with the mention of his self-revealed drug use and a few other things that the campaign has been doing have you know, may backfire, I think.
Speaking of Barack Hussein Obama, let's turn to our other guest, Zev Chaffetz. Since he wrote A Match Made in Heaven, American Jews, Christian Zionists, and One Man's Exploration of the Weird and Wonderful Judeo-Evangelical Alliance, as well as that cover story in the New York Times Magazine yesterday that many of you probably read about Mike Huckabee. Zev, it's Huckabee, Huckabee, Huckabee right now, isn't it?
It seems to be, although I'm done with him now, so it's not Huckabee to me anymore.
All right. Well, I won't ask you about your next article yet, but Huckabee had to apologize to Mitt Romney for something he said to you for your article, and now Huckabee has this article of his own in Foreign Affairs in which he knocks President Bush's, quote, arrogant bunker mentality, unquote. We have linked to that article on our webpage. If people want to see it, you can see Mike Huckabee's Foreign Affairs article by going to Brian Lehrer Show, WNYC.org, and click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Zev, that's some break with Bush compared to all the other candidates except Ron Paul, isn't it?
It is. When I first saw Huckabee, which was in mid-October in Manhattan, I was surprised by the fact that, A, he had nothing good to say about George Bush, and he made it very clear that he had been offended when Bush had come to Arkansas over the years and not even bothered notifying him, as he said that Clinton always did do when he was president.
Huh.
And I asked Huckabee who he would choose as his foreign policy advisors and other cabinet officials, and he said people from the Reagan administration and the first Bush administration. And when I asked him about Condi Rice, he was, you know, notably silent. And he said that he thought that Gates was doing a pretty good job, but that his candidate for Secretary of Defense would be Duncan Hunter. So it was clear back, you know, as early as mid-October when I talked to him that he didn't have much affection for this Bush administration.
Now, it's funny that you scoped that out. He didn't seem to display it very much in the debates, but we could almost see this coming with Huckabee almost a year ago. He was on this show way back last January, and I want to play a couple of clips that were kind of jogged in my memory by this Foreign Affairs article, and then even more so, at least reinforced by what you just said. He was an early doubter about President Bush's troop surge, and let's listen to this exchange between Mike Huckabee and a caller to our show, Lindsay from Ocean Township, New Jersey.
I wanted to ask Governor Huckabee if he thought George Bush, since he was talking about vertical thinking, has led the country up or down, and if he has any concrete examples of whichever way he says.
I think right after 9/11, the president did lead us up. I think he unified the country. He told us that we needed to fight this war together. I'm not sure that over the course of the last few years that maybe that's shifted some. And let me be fair. I think the biggest mistake was that the American people were not invited to be part of the war on terror other than sending their sons to war.
So that was kind of a lukewarm statement about the president to begin with, something that we heard very much from the Democratic side about the only sacrifice during the war being asked of the troops. And then I asked Huckabee at that time, this is January when the troop surge was just announced and being planned, what he thought about it.
I'm concerned about the president explaining to us once again why we're there and what it is we're going to accomplish and when we will know that we've succeeded. And that to me is what I'm going to look for more so than simply saying we're going to send in 20,000 troops.
So Liz Halloran from U.S. News, what do you think of Mike Huckabee coming out with these strong words now in Foreign Affairs about an arrogant bunker mentality on the part of the president with respect to foreign policy and American foreign policy in general needing a different tone?
I think it's extremely interesting, particularly given that the Republican base, there's still a lot of support for President Bush and for the war. As a matter of fact, national security is the number one issue among Republicans. And even at the Values Voters Forum, which was a forum of conservative evangelical voters in October, the war continued to get a big round of applause and support for the effort, the war effort. And so it is an interesting position for Mike Huckabee, who is appealing to these Christian conservatives who tend to continue to support the war and the overall general Republican base to have this position. It opened the door for both Romney, Mitt Romney, and Fred Thompson yesterday to call him, to go so far as to call him a liberal or a Democrat. And so I think it's a very interesting issue for him now.
Yeah, let me play a couple of clips, including that one. First, with Huckabee and Romney battling for first place in Iowa, Romney went directly after Huckabee's remarks about the president's foreign policy on NBC's Meet the Press yesterday.
But it's very different to point out the mistakes that have been made, and the president's pointed out the mistakes as well, and then to say that the Bush administration, our president, is arrogant with a bunker mentality. That's a completely different statement, for which Mike Huckabee owes the president an apology.
Mike Huckabee owes the president an apology, says Mitt Romney. So we really have a policy dispute there. And then Fred Thompson piled on when he was on TV yesterday.
He wanted to lift the embargo on Castro. Now he wants to close Guantanamo because he thinks it will curry some favor with other nations. It's basically a pretty social liberal policy that he has followed for several years and hasn't made any bones about it up until recently.
Liberal, liberal, liberal. Thompson on CBS Face the Nation. So, Zev, where does this all fit together with the Mike Huckabee who you profiled for the New York Times Magazine?
Well, the Mike Huckabee that I met, first of all, is a man who knows virtually nothing about foreign affairs or security. He has no experience. He has no pretense to experience. He spent his whole life in Arkansas, with the exception of 3 or 4 years in Texas. He went to a Bible college, which is nothing wrong with that, but they don't teach international relations or any such thing there. And therefore, he's pretty much a blank slate. He told me that the two people who advise him or who influence his thinking are Tom Friedman and Frank Gaffney. And I wrote in the Times, in the magazine, that that's like taking travel advice from Little Red Riding Hood and the wolf. I mean, they're going in opposite directions, those two.
I won't ask you which one you think is the wolf, but what do you make of it? I mean, was he just trying to, you know, be a big tent candidate? Or if Thomas Friedman and Frank Gaffney can both influence him, one is seen. I mean, there's no real leftist in that group. You know, Gaffney is very conservative. Friedman is kind of little of this, little of that, depending on your point of view. But what does it say? Is there a unified idea there regarding foreign policy when Huckabee says something like that?
I don't think so. If there is, I didn't see any evidence that he has any real ideas about foreign policy. And he also has no advisors on foreign policy, at least he hasn't had up until now. So it was very, very low on his list of priorities. What I can say is that Huckabee is, I mean, if he's a liberal, he's a new kind of liberal. He's a very, very orthodox, Jerry Falwell-style evangelical. He very much embraces Falwell's four principles of the moral majority, which include a strong national security. And, you know, I certainly didn't see any evidence that he's a, you know, that he's a liberal. I think the national press has mistaken, you know, a good sense of humor and a genial personality for liberalism. And I think his candidates right now, his opponents, are trying to tar him as a liberal. But I really don't see that it holds up with evidence.
Well, here's a little bit more of the evidence that Fred Thompson sees.
If you look at his policies, liberal is the only word that comes to mind when he was governor. I mean, the things that he said, things that he did. I mean, he was very resistant to any kind of effort to stop illegal immigration, any kind of effort to make sure that those who came in illegally were not on the public rolls, you might say, in terms of social services. The Cato Institute rated him one of the worst governors in terms of taxes and tax increases.
So Liz Halloran from U.S. News and World Report, liberal, liberal, liberal.
Well, it's interesting. He is not a liberal man or liberal candidate. He, as Zev said, he's got very conservative, a lot of Bible-based beliefs, including the fact that he does not believe in evolution, which I don't think a lot of people are aware of. But he does talk about education. He talks about arts education. He advocated college for children of illegal immigrants. Immigration, as you know, is an enormous issue in the Republican campaign right now. So I think because he talks about these things and he talks about them in a little bit of a different tone than some of the other candidates, that's perceived or is being perceived by some or touted as others as liberal, but this is not a liberal man.
Well, let's take some phone calls and see if people want to post to our comments page. What do you make of Mike Huckabee at this point? This is a man who probably most people in this New York metropolitan area have probably not thought very much about until maybe the last few weeks. He certainly was a total blank slate when he came on the show earlier in the year. And now there are all these different pieces that some people are calling liberal. There's certainly the conservative aspects to him in a religious cultural sense. What are you making of Mike Huckabee? What about the issues that he stands for? Is it clear to you at all what he would probably do as president? What does this statement on President Bush's foreign policy and using that kind of language, arrogant bunker mentality, say to you about Mike Huckabee? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And when we continue in a minute with Liz Halloran from U.S. News and World Report and Zev Chaffetz, who wrote the New York Times Magazine cover story that appeared yesterday on Huckabee, we'll talk about that one little question that Huckabee asked Chaffetz that caused Mike Huckabee to then have to apologize to Mitt Romney regarding Mormons. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and our online video picks for this week are up on our website. Every week we choose five videos from the web, and I anchor them in a picks video. This week's picks include Barack O'Bollywood, an Obama mashup in the style of a Bollywood movie. See our online video picks at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We are talking presidential politics with Liz Halloran from U.S. News and World Report, who's been on the campaign trail, and Zev Chaffetz, who wrote the New York Times Magazine cover story on Mike Huckabee yesterday. And Zev, it's your article made the news days before it was out. We were talking about it probably Wednesday last week because Huckabee asked you, don't Mormons believe Jesus and the devil are brothers? How did that come up?
Well, we were riding toward a campaign stop early in the morning. It was about 5:30 in the morning, and we had the light on in the car, and it was an interview. I was taking notes, and I asked, Mitt Romney was supposed to be giving a speech about his Mormonism in the next couple of days. And I had talked to Huckabee in the past about religion. He's a minister, of course, an ordained minister. And I asked him if Mormonism, in his opinion, was religion or a cult. And he said, it's a religion, I think. And he said, I don't know much about it. And I figured that was all he was going to say because that was sort of the stock answer, to give, the polite answer. And then in what I construed as and wrote in the article was an innocent voice, he asked the question. It was a rhetorical question. It wasn't a question to me, really. Don't they believe in that Jesus and the devil are brothers? And that was it. I mean, I didn't respond to it because, I didn't take it to be an actual question. I thought it was a rhetorical question.
What do you mean a rhetorical question? Why would he raise it if he didn't want you to print it to raise doubts about the theology of Mitt Romney?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he wanted me to print it or didn't want me to, but he certainly said it, and it was in the course of an interview. There was no doubt about that. We weren't having a conversation over drink someplace. We were riding in a car in the middle of the night with the lights on.
And you were there representing the New York Times.
Sure.
And it seems to, Liz, add up with a few other pieces. Like he's got that ad that says he's a Christian leader. That's an actual campaign commercial that calls him a Christian leader, and many people have interpreted that as reminding the evangelicals that he's Christian and Mitt Romney is not, because some of them don't consider Mormonism to be Christianity. He also had that clip that's made the rounds on YouTube where he was answering a question from a student at Falwell's Liberty University on his surge in the polls, and he said, "I can't explain it in human terms. It's the same thing as happened to the man with the loaves and the fishes." And, you know, I mean, whoa.
There is a deep theological divide between Christians and Mormons, and it is one that evangelical Christians find troubling. That is just the way it is right now.
But
go ahead, I'm sorry.
He's playing it.
38% of Republican voters in Iowa are evangelical Christians. And I think that his question to Zev about Jesus and the devil, or Jesus and Satan, this is not an untested politician. He's been a politician. He's been for a long time. He's been running for office. He's been running for the presidency. You're sort of laying the groundwork for a long time. And so I would find it difficult to believe that he was sitting there with Zev and said that with the understanding that that was as far as it was going to go. And so I think he is playing for that evangelical vote, and he's playing for, you know, that uncomfortability that many of evangelical Christians feel when it comes to Mitt Romney and his religion.
Robbie in Stamford, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to comment. I consider myself an evangelical Christian, although I say that kind of embarrassed because I'm not like a right-wing person. I'm more like a Jim Wallace Christian. And I think that what I'm hearing, I'm very interested in politics. I'm an attorney. I've been listening. And I just think the press is interpreting a lot of what's happening out there all wrong. They don't have the context to put a lot of this in. And I can give you a couple examples if you'd like to hear them.
Please.
Well, for one, I haven't followed it. I'm still waiting to read my my New York Times magazine, so I apologize for that. But, for example, on Guantanamo, many Christians that I know want to close that down because they just think it's basic bad human rights. It has nothing to do with religion. And yet I think when Huckabee says it, people think that's where it's coming from. And I also think that, at least the Christians I know, and I'm not supporting him or not, I don't think that they would vote for him because he's a Christian. I think a lot of the press thinks that, but it's not really that at all. I think he just seems genuine to them. And I think sometimes evangelical and right-wing are sort of meant to say the same thing in the press, and I apologize if that's not what, you know, your guests mean, but that's completely not true at all in terms of the people that I know. We're more concerned with human rights. We're more concerned with people being treated right, you know, habeas corpus, all those kind of things. And so I just think, for example, when I saw yesterday there was something on TV about he signed a thing saying that women should submit to their husbands, and I didn't hear one person say anything about he did that when he was a pastor, and that happens to be a direct quote from Scripture, from the Apostle Paul, and that also happens to only apply to people in the church. And I didn't hear any comment at all, and I wondered if the people that were on TV talking about it even knew that.
Or understood the context for
it. Or understood the context.
Yeah. So do you think that there's, when we talk about these different positions of Huckabee, some of which are perceived as liberal in traditional terms, like, you know, allowing in-state tuition for illegal immigrants and more spending and things like that, that's kind of, and at the same time, some of these Christian conservative positions on social issues like abortion and homosexuality, you think there's a certain Christian consistency there, yes?
Oh, I'm not sure what you mean. I would say, for example, just to address those issues, for myself, I would say that the Bible says homosexuality is a sin, but I'm an American, and I think Americans get to live the way they want, and I've always said that as a Christian, if I go into politics, if I go into the public sector, if I practice as an attorney, I'm practicing as an American. I don't leave my feelings or my morals behind, but
Robbie,
I'm embracing something different at that point.
Robbie, I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot. Call us again, okay?
Thank you.
Hillary in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. You're not that Hillary, are you?
No, I'm not. I am not going to vote for Mr. Huckabee, but I do appreciate his nonpartisan willingness to criticize the Bush administration, and I really resent Romney's pandering to it by asking Huckabee to apologize. I think Huckabee has a lot of, as governor of Arkansas as well, was able to parse a lot of the Republican stands on things like immigration and education. I think he's got a lot of interesting ideas. His religious beliefs.
So you're interested in him as an independent thinker.
Yes,
even
absolutely.
Though you're not likely to vote for him. Hillary, thank you very much. Zev Chaffetz, back to your article, and in a way back to your book, because your book, and you were here for an interview about it, looking at the relationships between pro-Israel Jews and evangelical Christians, what you call the weird relationship. And here is Mike Huckabee as, you know, the most overtly evangelical Christian candidate of them all. Were you originally interested in him growing out of the issues in your book?
No, not really. I mean, I must say that this was an idea that the editors at the magazine came up with, and I was actually quite dubious about Huckabee at the time. So I have to give them the credit for prescience in terms of the timing. Huckabee on Israel, I barely asked him about it. He's been to Israel 9 times, and he is extremely pro-Israel in the way that Jerry Falwell was pro-Israel. I don't think that's in any doubt. He also believes, and he told me that he believes, that there's a war in the world between radical Islam and civilization, Western civilization, by which he means Christian civilization, Judeo-Christian civilization. So the notion that he's, he may feel that Bush's policies are arrogant, and he may dislike Bush personally. I mean, I think he does. But I think it would be wrong to imagine that he is anything like Jim Wallace, who's a very, very fringe figure in evangelical Christianity.
The liberal evangelical.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to say he's fringe in terms of his importance. He wrote an important book and so on, but it's a long-standing liberal hope that there will be a turn to the left by evangelical Christians, and it certainly hasn't evidenced itself. And I must say about the previous caller, the one before last, calling from Connecticut. Connecticut has the smallest per capita evangelical population of any state in America, so it's not really a representative state. And the evangelical Christianity that's generally practiced there is rather more mainstream or liberal, you could say, than it is in most of the country.
Brenda in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Brenda.
Hi. I think he's one of the worst candidates because he seems to think that he's really running for a preacher or something. He seems to appeal only to the evangelical side of the Republican Party. He has no appeal.
You told my screener you're a Republican?
Yes, I am.
Who are you leaning toward in the primary?
Really difficult decision, but I guess towards Romney. It's not...
Can you say why in a nutshell?
Probably because he's pretty intelligent. I think he could do some turnaround with regard to downsizing the size of government. He will probably fight for the tax plan. He just seems like a reasonable Republican to put forth in this day and age.
Brenda, thanks for your call. What do you think of Rudy, by the way?
Hate him.
A New York Republican who hates Rudy.
Yeah, I loved him as mayor, but I just do not think he has the temperament to be president.
Brenda, thanks for your call. Liz Halloran from U.S. News. A couple other things real quick. Ron Paul yesterday set another one-day record for fundraising,
$6
million.
$6 million, yes.
Talk about it.
Well, he's got an interesting, I think I describe it as a melange of sort of disparate types of supporters. And they have parlayed their internet savvy and an enthusiasm against the war and for libertarian values into this incredible money-raising machine. It's interesting. It seems, though, that candidate Paul is not quite sure what to do with all of this money. He would be a natural competitor in some ways to a Mike Huckabee because he appeals to the homeschooling crowd that Huckabee also appeals to. He's a social conservative, but he is still seen as a fringe candidate. But the money, it'll be interesting to see if he figures out some kind of a strategy. I interviewed him several weeks ago when he did his first record-setting day of fundraising. He didn't do it; his supporters did it. And I asked him what his campaign strategy is or was, and he said, you know, basically said, strategy. What strategy? And so, with all this money, he may be having to think a little bit more about strategy.
Could it be that Huckabee, in coming out so forcefully against President Bush's foreign policy and using these headline-grabbing phrases like arrogant bunker mentality, which is the kind of thing Ron Paul would say, that Huckabee is in a way going for the Ron Paul supporters when they decide that their candidate is not viable?
Potentially. I was thinking earlier when we were talking about this that even more so than that, Huckabee may be looking forward to New Hampshire, where you've got about 44% of voters are not affiliated with either party, and those independent voters are not typically, a majority of them at this point, do not favor the Bush policy overseas. They are not supportive of the war in Iraq, and it was thought that most of those unaffiliated voters would possibly vote on the Democratic side, maybe for like an Obama or something, but Huckabee may be making a play for those folks, too.
We talked about Huckabee's apology to Romney over that Mormon remark, believing Jesus and the devil are brothers. There was also a Hillary Clinton apology to Barack Obama in the last few days.
Right.
Liz, want to explain that?
Well, Hillary's New Hampshire campaign co-chair, national campaign co-chair, too, a very well-known man in New Hampshire, Billy Shaheen, whose wife was governor at one time, suggested in a public place that Barack Obama's drug experimentation in his youth, which he disclosed in one of the books that he wrote, could potentially, you know, be something that Republican opponents could destroy him with. He used the word cocaine, and it became a very ugly incident. Hillary apologized, and it was just one in a series. She had already taken some heat for sort of needling him about saying that he was sort of this accidental candidate. You know, I never expected to be running for president, and he certainly isn't an accidental candidate. But she used his kindergarten teacher recalled that he said, "I wanted to be president when he was in kindergarten," and so it was sort of on this cycle of moves by the Clinton campaign to undercut Obama that seemed a little distasteful to people. And so that was a lingering bad taste from the kindergarten incident, and it sort of segued into this.
And this thing came up where they picked out a line from an old Obama book and said maybe he wouldn't be electable when the Republicans go after him over because he was, I guess, the first candidate for president ever to admit past cocaine abuse, which he called, you know, basically youthful indiscretion from long, long ago. But now the Clinton campaign dredged it up, then fired the person who said it.
Right.
But it's still out there.
It's still out there, and it really angered people in the African-American community, which Senator Clinton had been doing quite well with, and it has damaged her in some segments of that community because of the comments that Shaheen made.
Rob in Paramus, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rob.
Hi, good morning. I want to talk about Ed Rollins and his involvement with Huckabee's campaign and how the press has gotten amnesia about his involvement with the suppression of the black vote in New Jersey when Chrissy Whitman was running against Governor McGreevy. The other thing I want to talk about is this continues to be the theme in the Republican Party is race, and it's whispered, and it's a wink and a nod, as when President Reagan kicked off his campaign in Philadelphia, Mississippi, where Schwerner and Goodman and Cheney were murdered. And then again, we have Ron Paul, who's been pandering to white supremacist groups. And yet, this is never, ever discussed.
How has Ron Paul, I haven't heard that one before, how has Ron Paul done that?
Okay, let me ask you this. If you know who Maria Hinojosa is, and she's a credible journalist.
Yeah, I know her a long time, actually. She used to work here.
I know she did. And she actually did an interview with him on Friday night, and he wanted, and he actually disavowed the support that he has been getting from these white supremacist groups.
Okay.
And if you go onto their website, you will see that they are supporting him.
Well,
so, I mean, you guys are supposed to be credible journalists.
But at least
you have to do some investigation and not just
right.
quotations from the candidate.
But if he disavowed it, if he disavowed it, how much do you hold him responsible or look at him negatively as a result of it?
Well, the thing is, it took a lot of arm twisting for her to have him say, well, no, I really don't want their support. So, I mean, that's a wink and a nod. And the thing is, the Republican Party, ever since the civil rights legislation of 1964, has been pandering to these social dinosaurs.
Right. And we know that. Rob, I'm going to leave it there because we're almost out of time. But Jeff Chaffetz, probably the hiring of Ed Rollins to run the campaign or to be key in the campaign had not happened yet when you interviewed him for this article, right?
No.
Any thought about Ed Rollins?
Yeah, you know, Ed Rollins, I think Huckabee has badly wanted a national campaign figure, somebody. They haven't had enough money, really, to run a campaign. For example, they haven't had any money so far to do any polling, independent polling. I think that for Huckabee, getting Rollins is a big deal. I don't think that it's a big deal in itself. You know, Rollins, it's been 20 years or more, since 25 years almost, since he's had a successful campaign, but a national campaign.
Right. Rollins led the 84 Reagan re-election.
Yeah, and really
sweep.
Baker, you know, Jim Baker was actually the number one guy in that campaign. But I just want to say one thing about Obama, if I could.
Yeah.
Obama is going to be a real challenge, I think, because his first book that he wrote is, and he wrote it before he got into politics, is a very moving and a very, I think, a very brilliant book as a writer. I mean, I'm not talking about its ideas, although they're very smart. But it's a very open and candid book. And it'll be a test, I think, of the maturity of American politics if somebody who's written a book like that doesn't get raked over the coals by his primary opponents and his general opponents because other candidates don't write. It's not the kind of book that candidates have traditionally written. Or it's not even like Obama's second book, which is much closer to a campaign, you know, book.
When people like Bob Kerry, on behalf of Clinton, make a point of using Obama's middle name, Hussein, does that imply something, since you're, you know, close to the Jewish vote, does it imply anything about his attitudes toward Israel or policies? Do you think there's anything to say about whether Obama or Clinton would be quote-unquote, better for the Jews, at least with respect to Israel policy?
Well, Obama's got a... First of all, I don't think so. Obama's got a problem, not just with the Jewish community, but in general, with the fact that he belongs to a church in Chicago, which is essentially a black supremacist church, Jeremiah Wright's church. And among other things, they are very, very rigid believers in the very left-wing liberation theology. In fact, Jeremiah Wright is one of the major figures in that in the country. And so, you know, if I were mining opposition research for Obama, that's where I would go to look at his connections with that church. And he is very, very connected. In fact, Audacity of Hope is a phrase that he took from Jeremiah Wright.
You wouldn't say there's anything in Obama's own statements that is what you call black supremacist, do you, or liberation theology?
No, not that I know of. But, you know, if you're asking if it's possible to tar him with the brush of, let's say, Husseinism, you know, Barack Hussein, I don't think that he has any Muslim vulnerability with the Jews or anybody else. But I do think that his church may have some vulnerability with the mainstream America in general.
But in fairness to him, he's been taking hits from people who are real devotees of that church for not having the minister with him when he announced his candidacy or on the campaign trail.
Yes, but he hasn't actually walked away from the church. And I was told by, I guess I can say, Al Sharpton some months ago that a lot of pastors, black pastors, were offended by the fact that Obama didn't want or disinvited Reverend Wright from giving the benediction at his announcement,
right.
candidacy announcement. So it's not, you know, it's not an easy issue for him. But I, you know, I do think that it just his openness and his humanity, which is very impressive and very, you know, interesting, as expressed in his first book, is going to be different. You know, it's different than what we've known about other candidates in the past.
Sev Chaffetz wrote the New York Times Magazine cover story on Mike Huckabee that appeared yesterday. Liz Halloran covering the campaign for U.S. News and World Report. Thank you both very, very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up in a minute. Can silver Christmas trees be green?